Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya, where we hope to inspire you to dream big and push past your fear, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be the most authentic self you can be. Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings.
Guys, we are going to lead you into our third pillar of success, of leadership. And our first two pillars that we've talked about previously in previous episodes, you'll need to look those up. The first one was customer experience, and the second one was time management. So as business owners and leaders, over time, we've had to develop a process for these different things to have optimum performance in those, right?
Right.
Excuse me. So we didn't become successful with without a process. We don't continue success without continuing to be an advocate for those different topics, right? Mm-hmm. You always want to provide the perfect customer experience, if there is one, for our customers. So anyway, as we lead into part two of number three, so we had a episode on communication, and I believe that was episode 54, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is part two of that, because as we got to talking, as we do in that episode, there's a lot to communication, and we deal with it every day. I don't care if it's in your job, if it's with your church, if it's with your friends, if it's with your children, your husband, whatever, you are communicating. Right. So, Angie, we're going to try to focus on kind of part two today, covering communication again.
Right. And you know, Tanya, I really think that effective communication is, it's the key to everything. I feel like that might sound like an over-exaggeration or hyperbole, but you think about it. Let's think about customer experience. If you're not a good communicator, you can't provide that ultimate customer experience. If you're not a good communicator, you can't effectively tell people no and keep on schedule and manage your time management. So I believe that this is really, it affects every piece of our life, everything that we're trying to accomplish. So the pillars that we've talked about before, certainly pivotal when it comes to communication. So as we start this conversation, as a continuation of the last conversation we had about communication, episode 54, we really covered three areas in that episode, and it was the three forms of communication. You've got verbal, you've got nonverbal, and then you've got written. And I think people, when you talk about communication, obviously, I think their mind automatically goes to verbal, and sometimes it goes to written. I think the most people talk about nonverbal. There's lots of studies and things done talking about how important nonverbal communication is. But when we say the word communication, I'm not sure that our mind automatically goes to nonverbal communication. Sure. But you think about your facial expressions, the way that you enter a room, how you carry yourself, how you sit in a chair, if you sit up, if you slouch back, if you posture. All of those things are communicating a message. Most recently, I was reading something about steepling of your hands and how that is sort of an aggressive posture, and it conveys confidence. It conveys, I know my place. I know what I'm talking about.
It's kind of a power posture.
It really is. Yeah. And it's interesting because I do find myself doing that. It's a comfortable posture for me. And I do consider myself a confident person, but especially when I'm talking about topics that I know well, real estate. I'm you know, if I have every confidence in the world that I can communicate to a buyer or seller my value and what they need to do to get through the process, that kind of thing. So all of those things, whether you're no matter what your audience is, your audience, whether it be one person or 500, they're watching your nonverbal cues mm-hmm. as much as they are listening. And so as we get into today's conversation, we're going to bring that up again because okay. it kind of fits in the different areas that we're going to talk about.
It will. Yeah, I agree with that. There's so much to communication. And honestly, when, you know, that was, we picked that as one of our pillars to talk about to be successful, essentially. I didn't put much thought into it until mm-hmm. we started studying it for these episodes, and there is so much to it. And then when you start thinking about it, you start listening to other podcasts or mm-hmm. you start watching forms of communication. I just think that not only will we be hopefully teaching our listeners something, but that they will then take that into their workplace and their home environment mm-hmm. and their children and their spouse and whatever, and be able to watch communication styles mm-hmm. and be able to play nicer, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's yeah. see if you and I can play nice about communication.
Let's see if we can.
Okay. So getting started, we're kind of going to talk about the five C's mm-hmm. to communication. And the first one is to be clear.
Right.
So I am probably going to make too many real estate comparables here as far as us communicating what we do in our job. But to communicate clearly, mm-hmm. if it's in writing, you have to be very careful that you are really asking for what you're meaning to ask for, right? So right. I'm going to use an inspection notice
right.
for an example here. If what comes to mind for me is if the inspection says one thing, there's a plumbing leak under the sink, then you could write your request in a way that when it's read by others, not by you and your party, you and right. your party know what you're asking for. But once it goes in front of someone else, is it completely clear what repair you're asking for,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So that's kind of a, you know, a small example, but we find ourselves really reading that information on inspection notice to be sure that the request is clear, and then if you're on the respondent side, what the response is going to be and that you're clear. And
right.
oftentimes in our inspections, you might send me what your request is, but my response is a partial fix to mm-hmm. that, because maybe my seller only wants to do part A of that. They don't want to do part B,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Right, right.
We have to be clear with what our requests are, what we're, maybe what our argument is.
Mm-hmm. And specific, yeah, clear and specific. I always tell the story when I first got into real estate, I always say you only buy one refrigerator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn your lesson.
Yep.
And when it comes to writing contracts, it's so critical that we are specific and clear. So on this contract, I wrote that the seller was to pay closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about a week away from closing, and the seller gets his closing statement,
mm-hmm.
and he sees that he's got a $3,000, I don't remember the exact amount, but let's say it was $3,000 on his side. And he called me and he said, "What's this $3,000?" And I said, "Well, you agreed to pay closing costs." And he said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I agreed to pay my closing costs."
Mm.
So this went back and forth, and I ended up paying the buyer's closing costs because mm-hmm. I didn't put the seller was to pay
buyer's
yes. closing costs.
Yep. Great example.
So one little thing being out of whack can really mess up mm-hmm. anything. And when you're that's great examples for our business, but it
right.
doesn't matter whether it's business or what area you're communicating mm-hmm. in. You really need to be very, very clear.
And here's a tip: communicate the issue directly without misinterpreting or reacting emotionally, judgmentally, or defensively. Take ownership of your experience and be transparent. Be as clear and objective as possible. So mm-hmm. how often do you and I have conversations in just our daily living, whether that be work or home,
mm-hmm.
and your first reaction is to get defensive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
when you get defensive, you feel yourself react to that, right?
Right.
So
right.
you might cross your arms, you might... I get this pain in my right shoulder mm-hmm. blade. specifically. I have that pain right now, but it's not because you and I are having a heated argument. But the communication being clear, I think the reaction also needs to be clear. So you have to be cautious that your reaction mm-hmm. to whatever information is being given to you, mm-hmm. that you might want to think about what you want your reaction to look like.
They always say you should take a breath, right? Especially if it's in a heated argument or if it's – so this is interesting because I just thought of an example that happened to me yesterday. I was having a conversation and I was – I don't want to use the word blindsided. That's not really true. But I didn't realize a situation had gone all the way through where it had gone through. And I was kind of finding out about things on the back end.
Okay.
So the person who's explaining to me what happened, I sort of knew a teeny tiny bit of what was going on. And then they were trying to fill me in on the backside. And in my mind, I'm thinking, who was supposed to tell me this? Who was supposed to communicate mm-hmm. this to me so that I don't have a violent reaction mm-hmm. because I was not communicated with? And I took it all in stride, and at the time I was busy doing something else. But last night I got to dwelling on it, and I got to thinking, this kind of pisses me off. And at least it was at a point in the day when I wasn't going to pick up the phone and make a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
Because that's the last thing you want. You know, when we communicate, we have something we want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And if we end up just being disrespectful or coming across angry or mm-hmm. defensive,
aggressive.
It's going
yes.
to shut that conversation down. Mm-hmm. In order to achieve what we want to achieve, very often we have to try to keep that conversation going. And if you're being insulting or you come across angry or mm-hmm. aggressive, it's going to shut it down and nothing will be accomplished mm-hmm. then. So it's so important to take a step back and think about all angles and not just be reactive to things.
And you and I were talking before the podcast started about communicating with other realtors.
Mm-hmm.
And before you pick up that phone, oftentimes you have to make sure you have your words right. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure you're not being aggressive.
Right.
You have to make sure that you're being clear, but maybe not a jerk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in any situation with any agent on the other side, if you come in, you know, with fire breathing out of you, they're going to pick up on it immediately
mm-hmm.
and they're going to, you know, feel the aggression behind what you're saying.
Right.
So we can work through most of things in our real estate world if we are clear and concise about what we're saying and we're not aggressive.
Right. And you use the word concise, that leads us to number
yes.
two, because they really do work hand in hand.
They do.
Clarity and being concise. We've said it on the podcast. Before we've mentioned that we as realtors, and I don't think it's just realtors. I think we as a society want to explain ourselves mm-hmm. thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
When what might be more effective is to be more concise
mm-hmm.
and make sure, especially if we've got a point to make, if you're rattling on about something and you have one specific point that you want to make, it sometimes gets lost in all the other
words
that you say. You know, honestly, we're our own worst critic. I think that sometimes when I hear our podcast, I think we could have said that in less words. We really could, but we get on a roll and we start talking.
We do.
But in every situation, being more concise will I think help you. Learning to be more concise will help you be more effective. What if you're trying to get a point across, you whether it be in a boardroom or in a family dispute or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I really think those two go hand in hand.
I agree. Less wordy. That's number two. Be concise and less wordy. Number three, the C is compelling or confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use those two words together, I think, because if you're making a compelling argument or you just have compelling facts, it might not even be posed as an argument, depending on the situation. Let's talk about it with family. You know, you you want to do this and the rest of the family is wanting to do this and do it this way. Well, maybe you need further explanation as to why your idea of doing it this way is better, mm-hmm. more efficient, less costly. You having confidence in your compelling argument that you're going to give them,
right,
is going to help them understand, oh, it's going to save us money. Maybe that was never even a thought in their minds. Mm-hmm. We want to drive south. And you're like, no, we need to drive west and then south.
Right.
And why is that? Because we're actually going to save time, even though it looks like we're not. We're saving time and money, less gas, whatever.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot to be said for the compelling part of that, but the confidence that you walk into the room with, mm-hmm. that you sit down with your family with, mm-hmm. and to really get them to listen to you, the more confident you are, probably the more...
compelling argument you're going
to make. Absolutely, and the more confidence they'll have in you.
Right.
And right. whatever you're trying to get them to do.
Right.
Whatever you're coercing them to do. There's another C.
You know, as a leader, as a business owner, I think this of all the five C's really it defines what a good leader is, mm-hmm. because if you are going to ask people to follow you, mm-hmm. you're going to ask people to do things that they might not want to do or have reservations about, the more compelling your argument, the more thought out, concise, clear, direct message, but they have to see it. You can't just tell them that this is where we're going, this mm-hmm. is where we're going, mm-hmm. without giving them a roadmap of how we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is what the word compelling means. If you explain to me how we're going to get from point A to point B, you're providing a compelling reason for me to follow you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, important, especially whether you're leading your family and your example or leading a team or leading any entity, mm-hmm. you have to provide, especially if you're wanting to make a significant change, it has to be a compelling reason for them to follow you.
Mm-hmm. And using our business as an example, recently Caleb and Lakin listed their house mm-hmm. for sale. And of course, you know, just like every other seller, they want top dollar and they are explaining why they should get it. Mm-hmm. And they were going to be putting a new roof on the house. So they initially thought, oh, well, that makes our value go up. Mm-hmm. And so I had to give the compelling argument mm-hmm. as to why that does not add to your value. That right. is home ownership 101. Right. If you have a bad roof, you have to replace it to mm-hmm. live there, for your insurance to continue to cover you.
Right.
So oftentimes we're explaining the common sense. There's another C. Mm. The common Ooh, sense
you're
behind.
On a roll.
I am on a roll. the common sense behind the argument. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I have to show them where the value sits in the market, right? I don't make those numbers up.
Right.
We wish for different sometimes.
For sure.
And then oftentimes we get more than we were thinking that we would mm-hmm, get. Mm-hmm. But my argument of price and new roof going on and all of those things prior to listing, they had to listen. You know, they argued at first, and then when as we continued to talk about it and talk it through, and me giving all the reasonings and the research behind my price and my points to listing properly, they listened, mm-hmm. and it ended up paying off in the end because we had a successful sale.
Right.
And all of those things fell in order, and sometimes they don't, you know, mm-hmm. that's just life. But mm-hmm. but you're in my job, we are often having to come in and explain why the pricing is here, mm-hmm. or back to inspections, why we feel that these repairs need to be done for this buyer or the next buyer.
Right.
You're gonna have to repair those things.
Right.
So we're constantly preparing our arguments, mm-hmm. if you will. That's
right.
a strong word in that example, but of really just giving them the details of where we are in the transaction.
And you were able to provide that compelling argument because you've made a career
Another C
out of this, and you have the confidence to convey that. Yes. You know, it's difficult when you're new in a position and you're having to explain things to clients, and you don't have the the career history mm-hmm. to back that up, and
you're right.
And then you automatically don't have as much confidence as you should,
or so, credibility. There's another C.
Wow. Okay.
We're going to have to pat ourselves on the back or something.
We are. We really are. So that leads us to the next C, which is be curious. And I love this because I don't think we ask enough questions.
Right.
Unfortunately, and I posted recently that I'm reading John Maxwell's latest book, High Road Leader. Mm-hmm. And he gives a lot of examples of what a high road leader does, and one of it really is to be curious. And unfortunately, in the beginning of the book, he's starting out talking about where we are in the world today mm-hmm. and that we don't really have, he says he's leadership sad. I like to say we have a leadership crisis because, mm-hmm. another C word, mm-hmm. A leadership crisis because nobody wants to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to try to see the other person's side. And that's mm-hmm. where these questions, being curious, comes in. I've always thought that I was open to argument. Mm-hmm. All of us have our own perspectives, our own thoughts and ways of looking at things. But when I walk into a room and we're trying to make a decision, whether it be a business decision or whatever, we're trying to come together collectively mm-hmm. to move something forward. I don't understand being so closed off mm-hmm. that you Agreed. Don't see the other side, or you're not willing to be curious enough to ask enough questions to help you see mm-hmm. your perspective.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, I was raised to be respectful and
sure.
and consider other mm-hmm. people's opinion and not to come across as a bully. That's just how I was raised. And so I carry that with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to look at something and say, I'm omnipotent. I don't know everything.
Right.
And I think we have to get back to that. I don't mm-hmm. know how we do it, but if each of us does our own little bit to mm-hmm. make sure that we are trying to see other people's perspective and ask questions to how they got there. Mm-hmm. We may still disagree.
Sure.
But at least if we're in the same boardroom and we have two very differing opinions, mm-hmm. and I say, but Tanya, why do you think that?
Mm-hmm.
If we still end up walking out and we just still disagree, don't you still feel respected because I've asked you?
Oh, absolutely. And using that example, I was just sitting here thinking about my experience in the boardroom and our leadership that we were involved in at the Board of Realtors. And I think I learned a ton about communication being in those rooms. Mm-hmm. And mostly what I learned was to be a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got 10 to 12 people around a table, you've got an agenda, you've got someone leading the meeting. You can't just blurb out every little feeling you have.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that what you're saying is intelligent and not wasting time.
Right.
Plus, you're sitting with a table of your peers, so mm-hmm. you don't want to look like an idiot or sound like an idiot. I learned so much about listening. And it also taught me, because put 10 different realtors from maybe 8 different companies at
mm-hmm.
a table,
mm-hmm.
and they're all going to run their business just a little different.
Yeah.
They're all going to have just a little bit different opinion about what that form means or what that paragraph means or what the final result will be if we mm-hmm. make this decision. And it really taught me to listen to others and ask those questions or listen to, if they're offering that information up to begin with, listen to that and think that through in my mind, kind of digest it, if you will, to what my opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
And more than once, my opinion was changed sitting
yes.
at that table.
Yes.
Because I valued the opportunity for my comrades to speak at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, just because you've got 10 or 12 people at the table, it doesn't mean everybody's got an opinion.
Right.
A lot of those people sit there quietly mm-hmm. and they never say a word.
Right.
And the confidence that you gain over time mm-hmm. to actually have that voice and to be able to share your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you look back on your career or on your parenting skills or on your relationship skills, friendships, mm-hmm. all of those things that we communicate with every single day, if we'll take a moment to kind of scan how we're behaving and how we're listening and or not, and if we're really hearing the other side and hearing their opinion, we would have such a, I think, a better, easier time in our society of just agreeing to disagree.
Right.
And it not be so contentious.
Right. Exactly. I don't know what's led us here. I don't know what's led to the animosity. You know, you're either with me or you're my enemy.
Yes.
That's where we are. It's not, if you're not with me, I can still respect where you are mm-hmm. and I can still be your friend. That's not where we are. And it's unfortunate.
Right.
And I it's saddening. I mean, for John Maxwell to say he's leadership sad, I absolutely understand that, and mm-hmm. I get it, because it is, if you look at where we are in society, and it doesn't matter whether you're looking at the national political races or mm-hmm. the whatever, and that's not to say we don't have good leaders in our system. It's
sure.
just that so many of us are so divided because we think, if you don't agree with what I say—
Right, because my way is the right way.
And the only way.
And the only way.
And that's just not the case.
Right.
You know, we talked in episode 54, again, going back to our first conversation about communication, we spent a lot of time talking about we versus I.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a room, whether you're sitting on a nonprofit board or you're sitting on a, you know, whatever the case may be, if it's not something within your four walls, your company, you've got to come together with however many people are sitting around the room. And yeah, I agree. There are people who sit there and don't say anything. And it's not necessarily because they don't have an opinion, but maybe what they think has already been said. Because
mm-hmm.
this is one of my biggest pet peeves. Somebody who just repeats whatever has already been said
mm-hmm.
just so people can hear their voice.
Right.
Or they can hear what it is they want to hear their own voice.
Right.
And that's not productive. It doesn't help. It prolongs
right.
meetings. It makes people think you don't have an original thought.
Right.
I would much rather sit back and not say anything if my opinion has already been voiced
right.
and I don't have anything to add to the conversation,
right.
why would I just repeat what you just said, only using a couple of different words?
Right.
It's a big pet peeve of mine, and that goes back to being concise. But I really, you know, if you walk into a room and you have an opinion, that's okay. And I agree with you. There are often times, because I was willing to listen, that my opinion was swayed
mm-hmm.
because of an argument, a compelling argument
mm-hmm.
that someone else
yep.
made that made me think, oh, I hadn't even thought about it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think that conversation leads us to the fifth C, and that being compassionate and or making sure you have a connection with that person. And because we're talking about people here and communicating with people, I think that if your argument or your presentation or your opinion on the subject is just what it is, and you make sure that everybody's clear on your objectives,
mm-hmm.
that this is the way I feel about this and want to do this or want to perform this, you really want your audience to feel connected to you and to maybe be compassionate in some way about the outcome,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I guess going back to my example of inspections, you know, there sometimes it's perceived that there's just a winner and a loser.
Right.
And I have a client right now like that, and she thinks she's the loser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone on for way too long, and the discussions feel like I've been talking about this for way too long. But the conclusion has got to appease both sides, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be two winners there, right? Because
there should be. Yeah.
Yes, because yeah. And yes, it costs somebody money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that person that is spending the money on the repairs as the seller, they're one day going to be a buyer and the tables are going to be turned.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be asking for the repairs on a house or, you know, just to give that kind of a example there. It just shows that you've got to have the compassion for one another of, okay, well, they're spending X amount of dollars. That's a lot of money. I'll be happy with those repairs and not ask for another $1,000 repair.
Yeah.
That's a hard example because you and I both know people get planted in their feet in inspections and sometimes we can't get them to budge. And that's our job is to make everybody happy. Everybody's happy. We're moving on.
Right.
So the connection is important for people to feel that when you're communicating with them.
Right. Yeah, and I think connection kind of brings it all together, right? If you're listening, you're presenting a compelling argument, you're being clear and concise, and you will connect. It'll come automatically. And I believe that in negotiation, which is what you were talking about, whether it's negotiation, any type of negotiation, I believe you're right that somebody always thinks there's a winner and a loser, and there doesn't have to be in a true, open, honest, compassionate negotiation. We do unto others, you know, that comes into play because it'll, you know, karma's a bitch. Mm-hmm. And if you're not compassionate towards someone else, the next time you find yourself in that situation, then it could, you know, end up being you on the losing end, you will, if there's going to be a winner or loser. So I just think we need to give more grace overall. We need to give more grace and have more compassion for one another and truly listen. You know, we talked about the three forms of communication being verbal, nonverbal, and written. And listening is part of that communication. Mm-hmm. There's another point that's talked about a lot, and I'll butcher it if I try, but there's something like, it's called the five ways of listening or something like that. There's what I say, what you think I say, or what
and
you
what
hear.
What I actually said.
Yes.
Hear me saying.
Yes.
Yeah, we butchered it.
Yeah, we butchered it. But it...
We are not communicating very well.
We're not, but it's an interesting concept because you're going to hear whatever you want to hear, and unfortunately, if you're not listening, you don't know what I said.
No.
You don't know how to respond, how to come together and connect and work towards a common goal. If you're so worried about what you're going to say next in rebuttal to me.
Right.
Then we're not having a conversation,
right?
At all.
How many times have you been in a conversation that maybe gets heated, maybe becomes an argument, and you replay it in your head? You get off the phone, or you leave one another if it's in person. You get off the phone. You stew on it. You think on it. You replay it. You wish you'd said this. You wish you said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wake up the next day, and you're like, huh. You know, I really feel this way. So now maybe some time has passed.
Right.
And you've had a little bit of clarity on what all that meant.
Yeah.
And then you could pick up the phone and call them again and say, hey, I see your point. Here's how I feel about it this morning. Can we move forward with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just goes smoothly after that. So.
Right. Right.
No matter what form of communication you're using, it really pays to be listening, to make sure you're clear, and make sure you do have compassion for the other person and whatever they're saying, and make sure you give it some thought.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, I hope you've been able to take away, you know, something from this. We're all constantly communicating and trying to get our points across, and so hopefully you'll have some takeaways. I want to take just a second to thank our listeners for tuning in, for taking time for yourself to learn and grow by listening to podcasts, and hopefully we're giving you something each week that is useful in some way.
Yeah, and improving your life, and make sure you share it with a friend when you like one of our episodes. Hit share on your app that you're using. We would love that. We'd love to gain your friends as listeners. Yeah. So we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for assisting us today, and we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.